Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, we have got a wonderful, wonderful subject to talk about today, and it's children's stories. Now, I don't know about you, but I have always enjoyed children's books, and of course, having published one of my own and gone through the variables when that came out and knowing what it is like to be able to do a children's book and to have it well received is really quite special. My guests today are Sherry and Peter Lucking. They're in Colorado. And we have two children's books that we're going to be talking about. One is called A Christmas Wish. It's about Bilbo, a teddy bear that has wonderful adventures. And then Santa and the Little Teddy Bear, which has won an Indie Excellence Winner Book Award. Sherry and Peter, I want to welcome you to the show.
Hi, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, this is always a delight to interview people that have put together children's books because I know the amount of work that goes into doing this. And you had sent me a copy of each one of them. And I want the Christmas Wish or A Christmas Wish, that came out first, didn't it?
No, actually, Santa and the Little Teddy Bear is the original book.
Oh, my goodness, I had it reversed. Okay.
That's okay. And then the second book is called Bilbo's Adventures, A Christmas Wish. That's the whole title.
Uh-huh.
And Bilbo's Adventures, A Christmas Wish is the young reader's version of the original book, and it is written in rhyme, and Peter will talk to you about Santa and the Little Teddy Bear, which is the original story and original illustration.
Well, for those of you that are children at heart, which I know almost everybody is, I'd like to give you a little of information about Peter and Sherry. Now, Peter has been a guy who was in the corporate world,
mm-hmm.
and to my amazement, I discovered that he actually did the artwork for their first book, Santa and the Little Teddy Bear, and then he got involved in the design of performing art buildings and ended up helping to put together the L.A. Calkins Opera House in Denver. And, Peter, there is such a special story about this book, and I want you to talk about it in just a minute, but, Sherry, you had quite an influence on this book, so I want a story behind this. How did your son get involved in this, and what was it that motivated you to put together this beautiful book, Santa and the Little Teddy Bear?
Well, it all started when my son was born, and I had written a little manuscript. And I had put it to the side.
18 years ago.
18 years ago. And then, yeah. And then a few years ago, we were back in England and having a family reunion at Christmas. And one of my cousins said, could you tell us the story of Christmas? And I thought, well, I can do this through singing carols. So I proceeded to sing carols with my brothers and my older brothers and sisters. And we sang carols to explain the birth of Christ and the meaning of Christmas. They were all amazed. Well, that night, after a wonderful dinner, we went to bed. And there beside the bedside table was the original manuscript. My mum had put it out.
Oh, my goodness.
And I saw it there and I went, you know what? It wasn't very good to begin with. But if I rewrote it, interwove carols and traditions of Christmas around the world, now you've got a story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Santa and the Little Teddy Bear came about. The illustrations themselves, Sherry said, well, who's going to illustrate it? And I just said, well, I will. And a very bold statement there. And
yes.
Very bold and easy to say. I hadn't picked up a paintbrush for nearly 30 years. And, well, it all came back. And well, you can see the result. The cover won an Indie Award for Best Children's Book Cover. It was the gold medal finalist
mm-hmm.
in that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really magic in itself.
Now, the teddy bear, Bilbo, that you have in this story, he's got a special look to him. He doesn't look like a lot of the teddy bears that you expect to see. Was there a particular teddy bear that you used as a model, or did it just come out of your imagination?
A little bit of both. When I was young, I used to have Rupert the Bear. I don't know, most Americans probably don't know Rupert the Bear, but it was a wonderful sequence of stories. And he had a bit of a different nose than other bears. But when I started drawing this bear, I decided that I wanted to give him a little bit more expression, but also to stand out as a different teddy bear. So that the whole nose and the face, initially, and the reason that came about is quite funny, really. When I first started sketching it, Sherry told me, "Well, he looks a bit like a pig." I thought, "Well,
oh boy,
I'm in trouble."
Okay. Yes, you are.
So back to the drawing board, and we went back and forward a number of times, and really, that's how he got his look. You know, the big eyes, the big smiling face, the very round blob of a nose. And the ribbon around him, you know, that's all sort of that part of that look.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's also got a scar on his right cheek, where there's three stitches that put him back together. Now, one of the things that fascinated me with your artistic work, which was, it's just wonderful, but what I found so amazing was Santa. Your Santa looks more like the early German Santa's, old Saint Nick, if you will, Saint Nicholas, than what I'd call the American Santa, which is roly-poly with the rosy cheeks and the twinkling eyes and all of that. This Santa is more of the early style. Did you do that for a reason?
Well, I updated him from the American version, and actually, to be honest, I didn't realize he looked like the German version, but he's slim. I mean, he's living in this century. He would be trying to lose a bit of weight, eating better, and perhaps not having cookies when he comes down, but would like to have some carrots.
Are you kidding? You guys are kidding. No,
like protein and green vegetables.
And green vegetables.
No. That doesn't do for Santa. No. You're going to disappoint a lot of people.
But here's the real key. Now, they should leave the cookies and cream out, and cookies, milk, and out for Santa. But the real key here was that he is based on St. Nicholas. And so I really wanted to portray him a little bit more as a wiser person. Than the sort of jolly old Santa. And so throughout the first book, he's really a mentor and teaches the little teddy bear about life, because the little teddy bear doesn't really know anything. So he's more of this mentor figure up to date. But I do like the fact that he's like a German Santa. That's really true.
Yes, he really is. And when I looked at him and I think of the old depictions of Saint Nick, and of course the old pictures, everybody, all the men had beards. I mean, that's one way of keeping your face warm. And you know, during those times and the style of life, it's really interesting. But I think what really grabbed me too was your reindeer that was standing on its hind legs and using a baton and has on a pink tutu and has antlers that are really well formed. But this is a modern day reindeer that likes to boogie. That's all I can say.
He does. And I think that throughout the story, there are always these fun moments, from can-canning in Paris to, in this case, it's the music from a Nutcracker, and
doing the dance of the sugar plum fairy.
Yeah, well,
to distract the family that are in their drendel.
No kidding. Even
pretty
the man that's watching is distracted.
Well, you know, it's a little bit there to. There are serious moments in the book, and this is one of the sort of not so serious moments. And I think it's really to play and say, you know, even the reindeers have fun.
Oh, yes. Now, that is one of the components with the story. The book in and of itself is something that would be timeless. It would be a classic, and it's something that could be brought out for all of the family, you know, a tradition where they could read the story every year and for the little ones to know about Bilbo would just mm-hmm. be absolutely marvelous. Now, Bilbo, his name, where did you come together with the name Bilbo? It sounds almost Australian.
I'm going to let Sherry tell you that.
Okay, Sherry, how did you get involved in this?
No, I had nothing to do with it other than I'm his walking dictionary. Peter is dyslexic, and he's a terrible speller. And it's amazing what a wordsmith that he is. He knows the words, but he has trouble spelling. And he originally had spelled it reading Biblo, not Bilbo, and spell check changed it to Bilbo. He didn't even notice that that had happened, and it stuck.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
It's that simple. Honestly, that's how simple it was.
A misspelling, and spell checker didn't get it. What do you know?
Yeah.
A good thing it didn't
right.
work, because Bilbo is perfect for the
I
name
think it's
of,
a lovely
of the
name.
Teddy bear. Yes. He's just adorable. Now, the story starts out about Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a magical time, obviously. And little Bilbo, he's in a toy shop.
That's right.
All right. So all of the toys wake up.
Yeah, he's been waiting for 3 years. And as you said before, he's beaten up. He's forlorn. He has a scar on his face. He's been torn. He's been puked on. And he's up on the top shelf, half price.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wishes to be a special Christmas present.
And the reason he has a tear in his eye is because the clock is just about to strike midnight, and once again he's been left all alone in the toy shop with other toys that are past due. They've expired. They're old games. And.
But luckily for him and for all the other toys, Santa pops by. Here's the tears.
Ah.
And comes down and takes them on this magical spiritual journey on Christmas Eve around the world, delivering presents to all the kids, children around the world.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, Bilbo has all of these feelings. He wants so badly to be able to be loved and to make somebody happy.
That's right. That's his dream. And along the journey, he discovers friendship. He discovers places that he's never dreamed of. He discovers himself, really, because he's just lived in a toy shop. He doesn't know anything. And Santa teaches him as a mentor along the way, but also teaches him about the places they go. And mm-hmm. he gains his personal strength to the point where in Germany, when they lose the list, and I shouldn't tell everybody this story, but when they lose the list, he's the one who makes the decision to do the zero-G roller coaster ride up and over. And he's the one who jumps out at the top. And they all listen to him because now he's gained his self-esteem, which
mm-hmm.
he had lost over the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And your artwork throughout the book. Now, I love the blue crystal. You have the blue crystals as a compliment on each page when you don't have the full-page illustrations. I want to ask you a question, because
mm-hmm.
having done a fully illustrated children's book, I know the amount of time that it took for the artist to work. How long did you work on these paintings to get them done?
The first book, the illustrations took about 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all done in a... the technique is very time-consuming, because these are all glazed. To get the depth of color
yes.
that you see in the book, there mm-hmm. are multiple glazes used to create the way the light comes back, and then the book, of course, is printed in six colors, which is unusual. But it took me an awful long time, because first I had to remember how to paint. So there were disasters to begin with, and had to learn how to work on multiple paintings at once, which I didn't know at the beginning, and now I can do.
Mm-hmm.
The second book that we did was a little bit different because I did a lot of the work in the computer.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I found it doesn't give as... the depth is not as good, but for a young children's book, it does enable you to move the objects around. The problem with the first book and the illustrations is that you can't move anything. Once you've done the illustration, it's done. There's nothing that you can do with it. But at least in the computer, and what I've discovered is I hand draw, I color individual objects in the computer, and then I bring them in and create the whole picture, which enables the text, you know, to move the illustrations around the text.
Which is just phenomenal to watch. I have to chime in. Watching him go from painting these beautiful illustrations and then teaching himself within weeks how to do design graphically and bring the images in and then enhance and create what he did for the second book, Bilbo's Adventures of Christmas Wish. It's amazing to watch the man work.
Well, I can imagine. Now, with what you've done and with all that you have with the children's books and you've got here, this, you technically have come out with the super big one, then the smaller one for the younger children, and they actually can handle it. This is something, this second book that you've put out, it is light. It's not heavily bound like your first one is, because this is a good-sized book, Santa and the Little Teddy Bear. So this is something you'd put in a library, and you've got fine quality paper in it. A Christmas Wish, Bilbo's Adventures, it's something that if you had this and you had little ones, you wouldn't mind them putting their hands all over it and, you know, bending the pages, this type of thing, which kids do, because it's structured that way.
Right.
Yeah, it is that way, and, you know, we've had many little children read Santa and the Little Teddy Bear, and within, you know, hours, they can destroy the spine. And so we decided to go with a simpler form of printing for the very fact that, one, it's less expensive and more affordable for families, which we felt was important. And the other one is, as you said, you know, young children really like to get their hands on a book, and we know how that works. And Bilbo's Adventures is a sequence of books. There's a number of them going to be coming out in this format, the next one called Crazy Fun. And the idea being is that it's not a collector's book. You can throw it down, and we know that that will happen.
Right.
And we've also done both books. Actually, the original book, the hardcover book, is available in paperback and Kindle. Now that Kindle Fire is available in color, all the images are there. And the same with Bilbo's Adventures of Christmas Wish. It's available both in paperback and Kindle.
And that's,
so something that's... for everyone. And the, you know, with the original book, it's going to be loved. It's going to be dog-eared over time. We expect it to be passed down from generation to generation. It's that type of a book for sure.
Yes. Very much so. That's what, when I saw it, the size is a little bit larger than normal. But it is something that, as I said, could become a tradition with families, you know, to read to their grandkids and their, you know, whatever, neighbors' kids, or maybe take it to the library and have a children's read, whatever they might want to do. You have all of these wonderful songs. Did you have to get copyright permission to have them printed in your book to be able to use them? You give credit to all of the people. Did you have to contact the companies individually to be able to do that?
Yes.
Yes.
And for any other author listening, I thought that would take probably a couple of weeks. Well, actually, it took nearly 6 months, on and off. 3 months solidly finding out who owns the rights to the song. And sometimes it may be more than one person or different companies, and you have to get permission from both. We got the lyric copyright. It's what's called a lyric reprint right, actually, which is a little bit different than song rights. So you're allowed to print the actual lyrics themselves. It's a task unto itself. And I would strongly recommend using carols that are older than 1925, I think, is the date that every carol after that is copyrighted. So.
Interesting.
And, of course, there's royalties that go along with that as well.
Yeah, you have to pay all the royalties.
That's why we have a limited number of this original book. We have a limited number of copies, and once those are gone, they're gone.
Yeah.
Well, now, with this, and in all of the experience that you've attained through this, in our modern world as we're living in it now, book publishing has been altered, especially when it comes to illustrated stories, quite a bit. Art is still as just special as it always has been. What would you say to someone that might have children's stories that they would love to publish? What would be some of the advice that you'd want to share with a prospective author?
That's a really good question. Well, I would suggest this. We went all out and printed a book, which is extremely expensive. Got all the lyric the rights to the carols to be able to be in the book. I would suggest if you've got a book in your heart, write it. Go to CreateSpace or somewhere like that. Do a print on demand. Get it up on Amazon. Forget your website. Focus on Amazon, because as an author these days, you can have an Amazon author page. Focus on that, and then focus on marketing, because really what we've learned is that the books are probably only 5% of what we spend our time on.
Mm-hmm.
We're spending so much time on marketing. And in the meantime, send it out to find an agent or a publisher. So you've actually got a book that you can send them to show them, you know, this is what I'm trying to do. If you're an author who doesn't have illustrators, there's lots of wonderful illustrators out there. Very easy to contact through LinkedIn or Facebook, who would love to illustrate and work with people. So I would just say go up, out and do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the illustrators, this is something I know that is really a question people would have. What kind of cost did you buy you were the artist, so you own all of the art, and you can use it in any way you want. But if you wanted to use an illustrator, how would you pay them? Would you say, I want the rights to this, so I'll pay you XYZ dollars? Do you pay for royalties? I mean, when you think about royalties and all of that, how in the world do you keep up with all the bookkeeping? Sherry, is that what you do?
Yes, among many things, yes. But it's really case by case. You know, it becomes a relationship between the author and the illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
And having that conversation of how you really want to work that together. If the author just wants to take full credit and pay the illustrator, it can go that way, or they can mutually say, okay, well, let's take a risk together and see what happens with this book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would strongly suggest taking the risk together. You know, a relationship with a good illustrator, and I'm lucky to be able to illustrate our own books, but, you know, just as you know, as an author of books and children's books, just laying out how many times are you going to lay out the text.
Right.
And move it around. If you have a good relationship with an illustrator, you can work from day one on the story. You know, how are we going to lay this out? What's it going to appear like? And so it becomes a joint venture. And I think doing a joint venture, you're going to get the best illustrations that you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, don't buy off-the-shelf illustrations. I know you can do that. I mean, you can go places and they will illustrate the book for you. But I've noticed that they all look the same.
True.
That they're all using the same characters. And I think by working with an illustrator, you'll find that your character, you can really develop the character, because half the story for a children's book is the character that's drawn.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we wrote the second book together, I wrote and he, of course, illustrated. But it was working together in sync, me writing something and saying, I think it'd be better if we move this picture to this page, because then just having that relationship.
Mm-hmm. It really is a balancing act. It's something that I think if you used borders, like you used the blue crystals in the book, you
mm-hmm.
have got a blue circular design you incorporated, you've got a lion's head that is all in various shades of gold. You have the angel Gabriel, like it's a stained glass piece that maybe you'd see
mm-hmm.
it in a church. And then you have this part of Bilbo's story where he ends up Down Under in Australia. And I love, you know, the wallaby and all of the koala bear, the kangaroos. You know, you've incorporated the flavor of each place that he visits. And, of course, they don't have snow and ice and this type of thing like we experience in many areas mm-hmm. of the United States. And then you go to the Hawaiian Islands, and it's just, you've just got so much here that the feast for the eyes. And the story is just so absolutely wonderful that children, even if you wanted to make it like the 25 days before Christmas and you read just a page a night to the children and then you could do something like that, it would just be absolutely magical. And I think that you have done an incredible job with this book, and you said you're going into a series.
Thank you first for all those wonderful compliments. I have just one thing to say. Some of the pictures in the book are in 3D. Mm-hmm. If you put on the 3D...
sidewalk chalk glasses from Crayola.
From Crayola.
Especially the pictures with the blues. It looks in Hawaii as if the ship is actually sailing through the water, and it's just fantastic.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Well, that's part of it that I didn't realize.
Yeah, that was a discovery by our niece, who was outside playing with the sidewalk chalk and the glasses and came in and said, "Oh, my gosh, Uncle Peter, look, it's 3D. And he then enhanced what he was doing, and it's just phenomenal.
Oh, that's just incredible. Well, this has been delightful. These are two children's books for those of you that are child at heart. Yule Santa and the Little Teddy Bear, the hardbound, you definitely would want to have in your library. And then Bilbo's Adventures, A Classic Christmas Witch, which is a smaller version, but it is unique in its own art as well. Both of these make wonderful gifts for a family or just for your own enjoyment. I mean, I remember people buying my children's book and saying, "I'm a collector. I can't believe mm-hmm. how many people collect children's books. They really have a passion for it." So this would be a perfect gift. What is your website that people can go to find out more about your wonderful publications?
Sure. Bilbosadventure.com. That's Bilbos adventure.com.
Mm-hmm.
And www.santaandthelittleteddybear.com. Santa and the Little Teddy Bear, all spelled out.
Okay, Santa and the Little Teddy Bear, all spelled out.
And we're doing a launch for both books, so you get a special deal on them.
That's right. When you go to those sites, you'll be able to not only buy the books at special prices, you'll be able to enjoy thousands of dollars worth of bonus gifts from other authors, writers, and speakers.
Yes.
Oh, well, that is absolutely marvelous. Well, it's been a joy having the two of you on the air. Sherry and Peter Lucking, I wish you the best with your ongoing publications, with your series, Santa and the Little Teddy Bear, and also Bilbo's Adventures, A Christmas Wish, and may you have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season with your family as well. Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. More good things to share. Check out BilbosAdventure.com, Santa and the Little Teddy Bear.com. A lot of extra gifts with it. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. I've got some wonderful things to share with you today, but I wanted to also let you know the phone lines are open. The telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, that is 888-627-6008. Well, lots of things going on. Of course, I'm going to be doing an appearance at the Ascension Foundation. They're having a opening of their new facility, and I've been invited to do the beginning invocation as well as the first talk for the day. We're going to be starting at 10 a.m. It's going to go on until 5. It's free admission, and it is in downtown Seattle at 1222 South Weller Street. And their phone number, if you want more information about this upcoming event this Saturday, December the 4th, 206-356-6356. And I'm going to also be available throughout the day to do many consultations for people. So that's coming up, but also what's coming up in the Tacoma area, the Dickens Festival is in place. My goodness, this is my fifth year, I believe, with them. And I'm going to be there from 11:30 at the King's Bookstore in downtown Tacoma, for those of you in Western Washington, and I'll be at the King's Bookstore. And this is such a marvelous family event. I just feel very pleased that they've invited me back again. And we're going to be there from 11:30 until 4. And then I've got other commitments, and I'll be on my way. And then we've got some other things going on in December. This has been just an absolutely amazing month. Well, I told you the telephone lines are open. We do have a caller. If you want to call in and chat, the number to call in and chat on is 888-627-6008. Let's take our first caller. Welcome to the show, first name or initial. And where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna. This is Susan from Alaska.
Susan from Alaska. You got snow up there?
Yes, we do.
Now, are you
snow
in Fairbanks?
Snow and cold.
Oh, and snow and cold.
No, Wasilla.
You're in Wasilla. Oh, my goodness. Snow and cold. Well, I know up by Fairbanks we have the North Pole, and so lots of people are getting all kinds of mail up there at the postal area at the North Pole, Alaska. But you're in Wasilla where the snow has come down. It's just magical there in Wasilla and Anchorage. You people do just such an awesome, awesome level of decorating. I just think it's just gorgeous.
Mine hasn't come out yet, but it's coming soon.
Well, when it gets cold like that, you're really not going to volunteer for action too readily. You're going to be thoughtful about when you do it. Okay, Susan.
That's true.
Yes, let's get down to business.
All right, Donna, I have...
Go ahead.
I have a strange question for you.
Okay.
I'm having a woodpecker problem, and I've also noticed that in the last few months that my attic hatch seems to open itself up. And I'm trying to distinguish if I have a problem, if that's a clue that keeps opening up, which it's never opened up before.
Oh, so you're asking if you've got some visitors there. Yes, you do have visitors, but what you've got also is a latch that is, or a latching of type, that has really become worn. And it's one of those things that when it starts to happen, it's when you least expect it. So there is something that is going on. Do you have visitors around you? Oh, my goodness, you've had them for years. They've always been there.
Yeah.
But they've not been the type that have done what I'd call the physical affecting of items. because that's not something that they're focused on. But I will say this to you. So I think what you've got is an actual physical condition that needs to be worked with. So there's something physically that's going to have to be taken care of with this. And then I don't think you'll have a problem. I do think, though, that you do have 1, 2, 3, 4 persons on the other side that are in your environment. Two of them, I think, you are aware of. They're family members that have passed on, and there are two others that are not. They look to me as if they are native to the area that you live in. And these two that I think are native have been coming into your environment because of something you have been studying, reading, thinking about, and it's as if they want you to become aware of certain things. So I think your intuitive skills, your skills of mediumship, are beginning to develop. Now, it's doing it in a very interesting way, but I want you to try to keep a journal on certain things that you become aware of, because those on the other side, for them to be able to manifest anything, they have to use you and or people that are in your environment of your home on a regular basis. They have to be able to utilize your energy because they don't have the density otherwise. And this is very, very important for you to understand. So there are going to be some things that you're going to be feeling. Be alert. Be aware. You don't need to let your imagination go haywire. But you will have some things that will be brought into your attention, and you'll need to journal them down. And then that way, your physical conscious self will be more at ease with what I call the experiences that you could have. And I'm not saying you're afraid of it at all. I'm saying you're saying, okay,
no, not at
curious.
All.
Yeah, you're curious. You're saying, okay, what's going on here? So I do see distinctly 4 particular individuals, but these 2 that are not related to you also want to make you aware of the fact that there are some individuals that are going to be passing away. And they, when the time comes close to their passing, you're going to have more of an awareness that is going to bring to your attention that someone that you know is not going to be around for very long. Let me give you an example. This was a personal experience that I had a number of years ago. I was invited to a party. Interestingly enough, it was around Christmas time. And the host and hostess of the party were very good friends. And the wife had had tremendous battles with cancer through the years. Well, here we're at this wonderful festivity. I'm looking at everything, and it was just a great, great gathering of people. And the woman's name was Beverly, and she was standing over by the fireplace, and her husband came over, and there was a lot of wonderful things that were shared and said. And, again, it was a marvelous evening. And I watched her, and then when we were leaving, as we got into our automobile and my husband was starting it up, we were warming the car up because it was pretty cold, and we just sort of stayed there for a while as the car did what it was supposed to do. And I looked at my husband, and I said, Beverly is not going to be with us by the first of the new year. She's going to be gone. And my husband said, how do you know that? So I told him what I had experienced. I was watching her, and I realized that it was just a knowingness, that she really was saying goodbye at this gathering. And we got notification after the first of the year that within a week after this event, she was in the hospital. And within 2 weeks after being in the hospital, she had cancer that was raging through her body so savagely. It was just incredible. And she died before the end of the year. Now, a friend of mine just died.
Couple weeks ago.
Excuse me?
I said a friend of mine's husband just passed away a couple weeks ago.
Okay. So you've got more of this coming. Now, one thing I want to say, because when people hear a commentary like I've shared with you, many times they take a very negative look at that. They'll say, oh, this is terrible. I would never want to know anything like this. And I always like people to understand that when you're given the gift of perception and you are given the opportunity to be aware that a person's time in this experience is going to be very short, that really is very special. So that means you give the people time, you make sure you call them, you let them know that they're loved, and you just know that it's okay. And in our culture, so often death is looked at as an enemy. And it's just a part of life. We're all going to expire at one time or another. So it's something that to have the understanding, this is really going to bring you into an awareness that I think is going to enable you to assist other people. Because there may be an opportunity for you to do something with hospice work, not full-time, but there, you may find yourself in the environment of a hospice and talking to people, and I think it'll help your mediumship talents quite a bit. But I don't look at it as a negative. When I'm sharing this with you on the air, to me, it's not a negative at all. It's an understanding.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, and it's an understanding. It allows you to honor that person, and it can be done through prayer. It could be done through interaction. Sometimes you become aware of someone that's going to be passing away that you know of that may be thousands of miles away, and you can't be with them. But the mind does not know any limits, and that's why prayer, in my belief, is so powerful. So people will know. But I am seeing you being made aware of many, many things. So this is a process. Now, one of the things I want to tell you, you must make sure that you take care of yourself. Because as mediumship ability develops, the strain on the physical self can be quite intense. So don't be surprised if you find that you have appetites, like if you are involved in developing your own intuitive ability, that you get a tremendous appetite for food. That's why having good supplementation, being thoughtful about the foods that you eat, being aware of your body and why it needs the fuel. Yeah, this is very, very important. So I think you're going to be quite conscientious with this. The other two people that I'm seeing that are related to you, I think they've been around you for years. I think they've been around you ever since you were a small child. They passed over before you were born. So you've got some individuals that are sort of like guardians. And they just like being with you, and as you find your skills developing, you're going to become more aware of them.
Now, my daughter had someone in her bedroom, and we asked her to leave. Did that work, or is one of the two that we don't know of?
Well, the one that was in your daughter's bedroom, I think, was a female. And she loves children, absolutely loves children. And that was not an intention of hers in any way to frighten your daughter, but your daughter is demonstrating her own mediumship abilities.
Yes.
So it's perfectly all right to say, excuse me, you are not to frighten my daughter. This is not what you're to do. You are a guest, you're a visitor, and you have to be more thoughtful because it's frightening her. And she won't bother you.
Yeah, and my daughter's fine. Yeah, we had said, you know, it's okay during the day, but not when she's sleeping because that's when she felt her staring
and the
at
reason,
her. So.
Yeah, and the reason that it happens so frequently at night is because there's no stress, all right? Your daughter is quiet, she's not distracted, and many times those on the other side will take those quiet moments to be able to reach a child. But no harm here. This is a very loving person that's around your child.
Yeah, and I told my daughter that.
Yeah, very loving person. So she just needs to be aware that she has the talents herself. And I think it's wonderful she's able to talk with you about this, and you're not scolding her, and you're not telling her it's bad. You're just saying, wow, this is really interesting. Let's have a conversation with this person. That's good.
Oh,
that's a wonderful way.
Yeah.
Wonderful way.
So as far as journaling, the only things I notice is, like, I can feel a presence from time to time or think I see someone, but as far as journaling, I'm not sure what it is that I'm supposed to be journaling about.
Okay. I've got to take a break. Will you stay with me, and then I'll answer that question
you
for
bet.
You. Wonderful. All right. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Hey, you can call in, too, if you like. 888-627-6008. We'll be back in just a minute.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. Four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Before I go back to Susan and Wasilla, I need to correct what I said earlier about this Saturday. This Saturday is the 3rd. Gee whiz, I'm telling you. So again, I'm going to be in Seattle this Saturday from 10 a.m. until 5 at the Ascension Foundation. So hope you can make it out there. Admission is free, and I will be doing many sessions while I'm there. Also, the Toprasin information that you're hearing about, I really swear by this product because it has made such a difference with me and so many people that I know. Now, if you would like to order Toprasin, you can go online. You can go to their website, Toprasin.com, or you can call their 800 number, 959-1007. Give them the code DS for Donna Sebo, DS30. You will get 30% off. That is a good deal. So I wanted to be sure that you knew about that. Okay, let's go back to Susan. Susan, you still with me?
I sure am.
Okay, dear. You ask a very good question about journaling. Now, the reason I encourage journaling is because there is the side of the conscious self that has what I call a reject button. And when you journal, for example, let's say you were sitting and having a cup of tea, and it was maybe 11 o'clock at night, and you become aware of this fragrance of lilies that just fills the room. You don't have a lily in sight. You're sitting in Wasilla, Alaska. Snow is up to the door, you know, the height of the door. And you're going, lilies, where is this coming from? So in your journal, I would say, write down the time, 11 o'clock at night, what the weather is like outside, and that this fragrance of lilies is there. You don't have any lilies around. You don't have a fragrant candle burning anywhere. It's the lilies. Now, the reason I say that you write it down is that when you write things down, there is a brain-hand connection, and it makes you accepting of the sensory faculties that you've got. Smell is very important. lots of times people will only ascribe to hearing or seeing. We've got all kinds of terms that we've developed through the years, clairaudience, clairsentience, synesthesiology. We've got all kinds of terms that we use. It is paying attention. That's what the journaling is about. The story, like what you said about your daughter, her seeing spirit, did she notice anything in the beginning? Did she feel like she had been awakened? Was it something she just was, hello, I had my teddy bear underneath my arm and it woke me up, and there I am, and I'm looking at this lady that's wearing this purple and pink flower dress. Of course, I'm making up part of this, as you know. But writing it down. So what it does, it creates a shift with the conscious self that instead of rejecting any information, we say, all right, I recognize this. And the more you recognize, the more you pay attention, the more the flow occurs in your life that makes you sensitive, where you're literally reading everything. And when I think of the Native American cultures, they often had what they called the vision quest. And many times, because it was a fasting period and you were very isolated and you didn't have any sensory things to interfere, no radios, television, cell phones, nothing like this, even though there were the sounds of nature, you still were in that sense of awareness. Your awareness became heightened. That's what the journalism is for. It's to make you aware. Now, in many cultures, in many ancient cultures, they would speak of this. And among many different groups of people, there was a wise person, and then they would go and tell them the dreams they had. They would tell them the experiences that they would go through. So there was an understanding, and they grew with their understanding. And that's what this is about. It's becoming awake to the fact that your psychic sensory system is on all levels. And the journaling brings that to attention. It brings it to your conscious self so you're able to recognize it and honor it more effectively. Am I making sense to you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Good. Good. Because it's very, very important, and I really think it's a wonderful gift that you and your daughter both have this capacity and that you can talk about it. I just think that's awesome.
Always an open mind.
That's a good thing to have. That's a very good thing to have. And it's always good to question. Always good to question. Susan,
right.
I wish you the best holiday season. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Siebel. I know we're just about out of time here. I wanted to let you know tomorrow we're going to be talking. Well, we're going to be talking about the secret science behind movie stunts and special effects. Woo! I'm telling you, this guy has been on the front line, Stephen Wolf. So we are going to really enjoy that. And then we're going to be talking about Toto on Thursday. And then for you gals, the history of makeup. This is something we're going to be talking about, classic beauty. This is on Friday. Fascinating information. I learned about history and how long time ago women were concerned about looking good. Not a heck of a lot has changed in that time frame. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You are the person that has the magic in your life. Not someone else, but you. Sometimes you just have to make it okay to wake up to it and to say, I've got it, and then learn how to use it. That's what you're all about. You're a gift to life, and I'm so glad you were able to share this time with me today. Enjoy being who you are. We'll be back here same time, same place, right here on BBS Radio tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.